I'm Bob Geldof, the singer of the Boomtown Rats.
Hi, I'm Midjua.
My name is Cynthia Reaver.
Hello, we're the Pet Shop Boys.
This is Engelbert Humperdinck, and you're listening to the Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
Welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. Hi, I'm Ken Kessler. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. And in fact, today's episode is kind of both of those. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the single by Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas? I wanted to recognize that and talk about its history and whether we have any reason to expect that there could be a possible new version of the Band-Aid group or the song later this year. The song was originally written by Bob Geldof, who was, at the time, most well-known for being the lead singer of the band The Boomtown Rats, and Midge Ure, who played guitar for Thin Lizzy and led the band Ultravox. The two men collaborated on the song as a way, they hoped, to raise money for famine relief in Ethiopia. Do They Know It's Christmas became the biggest selling single in the UK up until 1997, when Elton John's tribute to Princess Diana overtook it. The song reached number one in 13 other countries outside the UK, though the United States wasn't one of those, due mostly to a lack of airplay that first year. The song received a lot of criticism from the get-go. Some critics referred to the artists as Bland-Aid, and others had issues with the lyrics, particularly the line Bono sings, "Well, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you." About 10 years ago, Midge Ure said, quote, "It is a song that has nothing to do with music. It was all about generating money. The song didn't matter. The song was secondary, almost irrelevant," end quote. That song featured an amazing array of artists from the UK who had been asked and, in some cases, even begged to perform on it. The original Band-Aid included members of U2, Duran Duran, Culture Club, Bananarama, Spandau Ballet, Heaven 17, Status Quo, The Style Council, and Wham. Also featured were Sting, Jody Watley, Paul Young, and Phil Collins. Artists that couldn't make it to the session but recorded some messages used on the B-side and on a special extended version, which we occasionally play on the Sounds of Christmas, included David Bowie, Paul McCartney, members of Big Country, and Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Do They Know It's Christmas was reissued a year later, where it almost topped the charts in the UK again. The main difference in this version was that it was remixed by Trevor Horn, a British producer who had been part of the band The Buggles, remembered for their hit Video Killed the Radio Star, as well as his work with the progressive rock band Yes. The new single also included a new B-side entitled One Year On, Feed the World. That track began and ended with a recorded phone message from Bob Geldof and Midge Ure reciting a list of what had been bought with the money raised during the previous 12 months. Also in 1985, there was a compilation of computer games for the Commodore 64 and ZX Spectrum published for the same charity under the name Soft Aid. Each platform had its own selection of games from 10 different publishers, including Elite Systems, Ocean Software, Quicksilva, and Virgin. The cassette also featured a recording of the Do They Know It's Christmas single. In 1989, Geldof got a new production team to record a new version of the song. The artists this time around were referred to as Band-Aid 2, and they included members of Bananarama again, as well as members of Big Fun, 10cc, The Pasadenas, Bronski Beat, and Wet Wet Wet, along with Kylie Minogue, Kathy Dennis, Chris Rea, Lisa Stansfield, and Cliff Richard. This version was not nearly as successful as the first, though part of that was due to the fact that it wasn't released until the second week of December. Still, it did manage to hit the number one spot on the UK singles chart and on the chart in Ireland. In 2004, Coldplay's Chris Martin had the idea to put together a 20th anniversary version of Do They Know It's Christmas, and he contacted Bob Geldof and Midge Ure about making it happen. This time around, the artists were known as Band-Aid 20, and the group included members of Keane, All Saints, Radiohead, Queen, The Darkness, The Divine Comedy, Snow Patrol, and Travis, as well as Chris Martin from Coldplay, Bono from U2, Natasha Bedingfield, Joss Stone, Dido, Beverly Knight, Robbie Williams, Phil Collins, and Paul McCartney. Damon Albarn, the singer from Blur, was on hand, but he didn't perform. Instead, he reportedly served tea to those who did participate. This version hit number one on charts in 9 countries. In 2014, Bob Geldof assembled another group, and this time they were called Band-Aid 30. The charity was changed to aid the Ebola crisis, and lyrics to the songs were altered to reflect that. Bono from U2, Chris Martin from Coldplay, and Roger Taylor from Queen all returned for this one, and they were joined by Ed Sheeran, Sam Smith, Paloma Faith, Sinead O'Connor, Seal, and members of One Direction. The single hit number one in 6 countries this time around and landed at number 16 on the United States Adult Contemporary chart. A couple years later, in an interview with The Sun, Midge said that there would never be another Band-Aid single. Quote, "I'm not sure music is the answer to it now. 31 years ago, we did the Band-Aid thing. It was the vehicle that people understood. You didn't have video games, you didn't have mobile phones, and you didn't have all of the distractions that you have today. Music was the be-all and end-all, so we used the medium at its peak. We used the power that music had at its peak. So maybe right now, the answer wouldn't be a concert or a record, but I don't know what the answer is," end quote. That was back in 2016. A few years later, in December 2020, a group of musicians from Liverpool recorded a version of Do They Know It's Christmas as a charity record in support of Shelter. Retitled Do They Know It's Christmas Feed the World, with lyrics referring to places on Merseyside, the project was given the go-ahead by Bob Geldof and Midge Ure. The group was called Band-Aid Liverpool, and they featured about 70 musicians and personalities from Liverpool, including Asa Murphy from BBC Radio Merseyside, the five-piece band The Hummingbirds, and project originator Tony Cook from the tribute band The Mersey Beatles. Last summer, Midyear said there could be a possible follow-up to Live Aid in honor of the 40th anniversary of that iconic concert, which was held at Wembley Stadium in London and JFK Stadium in Philadelphia on July 13, 1985. The event saw around 72,000 attending at Wembley and almost 90,000 in Philadelphia, with other similar concerts held around the world, including in Canada, Japan, Yugoslavia, Austria, Australia, and West Germany. Speaking to Greatest Hits Radio backstage at the Rewind Festival, Scotland, Midge said, "I've said, and Bob Geldof said as well, we've all said for the last 40 years, wouldn't it be great to do something like that every year?" No word on whether another charity concert will actually happen, but the 40th anniversary of Live Aid is still over a year away. There's also no word, at least not yet, about whether there will be a Band-Aid 40 or a new version of Do They Know It's Christmas later this year. By the way, there have been a lot of singers and bands that have recorded their own versions of Do They Know It's Christmas. Most don't include anyone that performed in any of the 4 official versions, and there isn't much info on whether all or any of these support either charity associated with Band-Aid, though songwriting royalties do go to the Band-Aid Trust. You can find versions of Do They Know It's Christmas by Bare Naked Ladies, Slade, Pete Yorn, Little River Band, Air Supply, the cast of Glee, and Critical Mass. Do They Know It's Christmas was also performed during Live Aid, even though the event took place in the middle of July, since it was the catalyst for the Live Aid event, and honestly, for many charity singles to follow, including USA for Africa's We Are the World. That live version was performed by Paul McCartney and a superstar-studded lineup at the conclusion of the part of Live Aid that took place at London's Wembley Arena. For completists, earlier on that July day, Paul Young also performed about a minute's worth of lines from the song before he sang his set, which was between Brian Ferry's set and Bryan Adams. So that's most of the history of Band-Aid and Do They Know It's Christmas. 2024 marks the 40th anniversary of the original. Will there be a Band-Aid 40 later this year? I reached out to both Bob Geldof and Midge Ure about it. All I've heard so far was from one of Bob Geldof's assistants, who said she hadn't heard anything about any plans for it yet. In an interview with Radio Times just over a year ago, Bob said, quote, "I don't want to talk about it because it's a question I've been asked in every single interview for the last 40 years. When I die, it'll be he did a concert called Live Aid and he wrote a song called I Don't Like Mondays. It's not bad. There are worse things to be remembered for, but I've had a long music career, including 17 top 20 hits, and I've done other stuff. The other problem is Band-Aid is a living instrument. When I put on the email this morning, there were at least 8 new urgent requests for help in Uganda. Even after 40 years, the consequences of that day live forever for all of us who made Live Aid." End quote. In November of 2023, Geldof revealed that a 6-part miniseries about Live Aid was being produced by Disney, as well as an IMAX format theatrical documentary from Geldof himself. Meanwhile, Midge says that while he doesn't expect that he and Bob Geldof will pen a new version for the 40th anniversary, he would be open to today's pop stars providing an updated version. Quote, "The song is there to be re-recorded and manipulated however people see fit, as long as it fits the parameters of what we were trying to do in the first place. Every generation should do an interpretation of the song. I know some people are a bit squeamish about some of the lyrics, and it is a very different world now from when it was written. Bob and I gave the songwriting royalties to the Band-Aid Trust, and whenever it gets played, it generates income and will continue to do so long after we're gone. So I encourage people to do something with it." End quote. And that's pretty much where we are. It's early in 2024, so we could see something happen later this year, but so far, it looks like there's more movement on the Live Aid anniversary than do they know it's Christmas. Before we wrap things up, I've invited a couple friends to come on and join me in a little speculation about who might be a part of Band-Aid 40, or at least who we'd like to see as part of Band-Aid 40. So Sarah from Christmas Spirit News on Twitter and Scott from the Holly Jolly Xmasu podcast, thank you both for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Before we get into it, for people who have not met you guys before, Sarah, can you talk a little bit about what you do?
Sure. I just have a Twitter handle, spirit_Xmas on Twitter or X. I am just a huge Christmas music enthusiast, so I like tweeting about it. And what I'm most known for, if I'm known for anything at all, is creating an annual Spotify playlist. And several of them have over 5,000 listeners. Wow. So I love bringing new Christmas music to other enthusiasts around the world.
But you have a bunch of playlists besides just new music from any given year?
Yes. So I create one annually and I list them as, you know, 2024, 2023, 2022, et cetera. But I also do themed Christmas lists. So I have an R&B Christmas list, a pop Christmas list, K-pop, country, you name it, jazz, et cetera. Those don't have quite as many followers as the annual list, but they grow every year.
Nice. I'll make sure to put a link down in the show notes for anybody who wants to click on over and check out your playlist. Scott, I know you've never been on here before either, but for anybody who doesn't know you and the Holly Jolly Xmasu podcast, can you give us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's all about Japanese Christmas music. Each month or each episode, I cover an album or group of songs. You know, I listen to the music, I discuss the artist, maybe some history of the song, and everything I cover is from my personal collection. So a lot of what you're going to hear on my podcast, you can't hear anywhere else. It's taken from old vinyl, out of print CDs, just stuff that you really can't find in the US. So if you're looking for something a little bit different, tune in and you're going to find pretty much the best Christmas music Japan has to offer.
So for those who are listening and wondering about these lists that we're getting ready to go through, I don't know that you would say these are educated guesses, but these are input from three people who really love Christmas music. So keep that in mind and feel free to reach out on social media and add your suggestions to the list. And who knows, maybe Bob Geldof or Midge will see them and reach out and contact somebody. Sarah, let's get started with one of yours.
Absolutely. So just before I start, I want to say, like, historically, the original song and the remakes have predominantly featured British artists. However, my list focuses more on a global group of singers. So I just wanted to start with that.
Okay.
And my first recommendation is a group of people. I'll say Tiwa Savage, Yemi Alade, Burna Boy from Nigeria, Tyla from South Africa, Rokia Traore, and Fatoumata Diawara from Mali. I think that it's really important that African artists are a major part of a song helping Africans. And I think that the last time they remade the song, you know, even the originators were clued into that, and they brought in Angelique Kidjo, who is a global ambassador to African music. But I think if they make a Band-Aid 40, they should really lean into bringing in more African artists in the next iteration.
It's a really good point. I didn't even think about that. I mean, when you think about the song and the way it started out and some of the lyrics that are really sort of not good.
Cringy?
Yes. it seems like that wasn't, it seems like it came together really quickly, what they did. And they didn't have a time to really flesh out all the things, but they've had 40 years now. So I think that's a great suggestion to kick things off. Scott, how about you?
I'll start at the bottom of my list. And I'm assuming we don't have to mention Bono, because I think it's just a given he'll be there. what I was thinking was, you know, pulling some of the top artists from previous Band-Aids, as well as some of the, I guess, classic, and I stuck with British stars for the most part, but pulling in like people that haven't been involved with it before, who are just like, you know, pop and rock royalty, who I would just love to see involved. But the first one I'll mention is the only American on my list, and that's Robert Coolbell, just because I always thought it was... I always thought it was cool that he ended up on the first Band-Aid, just by chance.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool too. When I was putting together my list, I tried to keep from bringing in anybody who had been part of any of the four previous Band-Aids, with this exception. I think that Bono, I think Chris Martin from Coldplay, Roger Taylor from Queen, and Paul McCartney, I think it'd be great to have them back again, probably for what would be the last time, but I think that would be really cool. But my first pick, and there's no way this would happen, but I think my first pick is the Rolling Stones. That would never happen. I'm sure it would never happen, but I can't think of much more iconic, other than the Beatles, iconic British music performers than the Rolling Stones. I don't know that the Rolling Stones have ever been involved in any kind of charity song, and it would be hard to imagine them in the choir with, you know, 30 other performers. That's really hard for me to even see, because they're such colossal standouts that I can't imagine it. And yet I think that would be really cool. Band-Aid 40 starring the Rolling Stones. So that's my first pick. Sarah, who's next for you?
I do have to say I have Mick Jagger as one of my honorable mentions. So I second your vote there. Sticking with my global theme, my second choice is Jessica Mauboy. She is an Indigenous Australian pop singer. She had six top 10 albums in Australia. She was a contestant for Australia on Eurovision. She's a coach on The Voice show for Australia. Like, she's very famous there. I don't think she's quite as globally famous in America, but I think she'd be a fantastic addition and just spread the popularity of that song around the world.
I'm not real familiar with her. And not that this is any criteria for it, but do you have any idea if she's done Christmas music on her own before?
She has done a Christmas song. I don't think it's recorded, but she's done it on video, like on YouTube. So she does like Christmas music, as far as I know, but has not made an album yet.
Similar to Dami M. Do you know Dami
yes,
M?
Yes, I love her.
Okay. Up until this past year, she had, I think it was the Christmas song on her YouTube channel, and that was it, nothing else. And then she released her Christmas songbook this past year. But similar kind of thing, not that having Christmas music is any kind of criteria for being in Band Aid, and that, you know, there aren't a whole lot of Rolling Stones Christmas songs, so that would have KO'd my first pick anyway. Scott, who's next on your list?
So I was trying to think of British artists who I'd just love to see involved with this. Next for me would be Adam Ant. I think he participated in a live performance of it, because in one video where they like redid the video, I think he was in the chorus at one point. But, you know, back in the 80s, I was a huge fan. So seeing him involved would be a real big kick for me.
It may have been the live performance that they did at Live Aid.
I think so.
Where they brought back pretty much everybody who was still there.
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney started it, and they all came out of the woodwork, everybody. That was really amazing. Adam Ant, that would be very cool. I have lots of English rock and pop royalty on my list. My next one is Tom Jones. Tom Jones has done not as much Christmas music as you would think. Again, not that that's a criteria for this, but I think it would be cool even just to invite him, even if all he did was like what Paul McCartney did for the first one, just a little recorded message that was on the B-side of the single. Hi, this is Tom Jones. Merry Christmas. Thanks for helping, you know, whatever. But I think it would be cool to have him a part of this, especially since he's got such an amazing legacy of music and he's still around, still doing it.
I can't believe I didn't think of him, because he's like at the top of my list of people that I'd love to see do a Christmas album.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to see a Tom Jones Christmas album. And it's surprising the huge career that he's had that he hasn't done a Christmas album yet.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, if you're listening, we're waiting. Come on. Sarah, who's next on your list?
Okay, guys, you'll be happy I picked someone from England. I recommend Cynthia Erivo. She is a Tony and Grammy award-winning artist. She was born in England to Nigerian parents. I adore her vocals, and she's about to have another breakout moment with the lead role in Wicked opposite Ariana Grande in the movie that comes out for Thanksgiving. And she, you know, just sang When You Wish Upon a Star, like probably the best version I've ever heard, in the remake of Pinocchio. She's fantastic. I love Cynthia Erivo.
Yeah, that's a good pick. And it would be, I hate to say it like this, but it would be a really good marketing choice to have her part of this, especially with right. Wicked coming out right around the time this new single would be coming out.
Absolutely.
Very good. Yeah. Scott, who's next on your list?
So this is kind of a nod to my mother. She was at one point a bigger Herman's Hermits fan than a Beatles fan. And one of her favorite people on earth is Peter Noon. So having him involved, I think, would be really cool. You know, he was huge in the 60s with Herman's Hermits. He had a resurgence in the 80s. And yeah, he's still around. And I think he'd just be a really good addition to it.
Yeah, I agree. I was a big Herman's Hermits fan. And I, you know, now that you bring it up, I'm surprised that he hasn't been part of this before.
Mm-hmm.
My next pick is Engelbert Humperdinck. He is still out there doing stuff. He had a new Christmas album that came out 4 or 5 years ago. And he is still out there performing and still out there releasing new music. And I'm kind of surprised, like with Tom Jones, that he hasn't been part of this. I think it's great. And I think, you know, I'm not just trying to fish around to some of these old guys that are still around. I think that for a charity release like this, having some of the artists like who Sarah just mentioned, and having somebody like Engelbert Humperdinck will bring in lots of different people to support a charitable thing like this. And I think that's a little bit of what's been missing on some of these Band-Aid releases. Not that I'm smarter than Bob Geldof, but I'm just saying. So that's my pick. Sarah, who's next for you?
Here's my first American on the list. I recommend Pink. She is a powerhouse rock star vocalist who has sold over 135 million records worldwide, has multiple Grammys and an Emmy, in addition to other accolades like her recent Billboard Icon Award. So many rock musicians have been featured in the Band-Aid song. I think that she'd be a great rock contributor to the group.
I agree. I think so. And I think she's got that international appeal where it wouldn't just be throwing in a token American. I think people in the UK, people in Australia, people all over know Pink. I think that's a great choice. Scott, who's next for you?
So similar to what Sarah was thinking, I thought having an African connection would be good. And plus, this is someone who I would just love to hear do Christmas music at some point. So my next choice would be Sade. Just one of the greatest voices ever. And I think she would be just a phenomenal choice for it.
She's love her voice. I wish she would do a Christmas album. She's just amazing.
She's another one that it just is surprising to me that she hasn't done a Christmas album, a Christmas single, a song on one of the very special Christmas collections or something like that. Just nothing. It is surprising. And she has an absolutely amazing voice. Still does. Still is putting out amazing music. That would be great. Somebody that I'm surprised has not been on one of these Band-Aids is Shaken Stevens. Merry Christmas, Everyone is almost like an anthem in the UK. It's not as popular over in the US, but I think that absolutely he should be part of something that's so iconically British. I mean, he's done a bunch of Christmas music, but that one particular song could almost be like Mariah's song over here, that popular. But anyhow, that's my next pick. Sarah, who do you have next?
I love the Shaken Stevens reco. I support that. Thank you. I have another American on the list who is someone who really excites me in music right now. His name is John Batiste. He's a New Orleans artist who just keeps rising in fame, you know, from being an Oscar-winning Disney soundtrack composer to having multiple Grammy-winning albums to his most recent documentary that I think is on Netflix called American Symphony. His energy musically is just electrifying. And I think that his vocal ability would also be a great addition to this album. And I think I can't name his charities, but I know that he has been involved in charitable work in the past.
Yeah. I like John Batiste and a lot of the stuff he's done. I think that's a great choice. Scott, who do you have next?
My next choice is Jeff Lynne from ELO. You know, he's got the experience of doing really fine collaborations with the Traveling Wilburys. And, you know, get him involved in the production end of it. And I think you could end up with a really slick sounding single.
Yeah, I would agree. He was almost on my list, but I didn't have room. And now I feel bad. Sorry, Jeff. My next pick is Sir Elton John. And I'm surprised. He's another one. I'm surprised that he hasn't been involved in these before. I know for the last, I don't know, 50 years, maybe more, that he's been touring or in the recording studio almost all of that time. So there's a good chance that he just wasn't available when they were doing these. But I think it would be great to have somebody like him, a huge classic pop and rock star, leading this, or at least a part of it, that would be good. And I know that he's done this kind of thing before. He did that song, That's What Friends Are For, with Dionne Warwick in the 80s. So he's done this kind of thing, but this would be cool to have him on. So there's my pick. Sarah, who's next for you?
Okay, I'm going back to my global theme.
Okay.
I recommend Blackpink. They are the top female K-pop group in Korea and in the world. They have a huge global following that it could expand the song's reach in Asia. You know, I don't know what the pickup has ever been in Asia, but they'd be the one to lead the charge. They were the first Asian act to headline Coachella. They've set many records with their billions of YouTube music video views, and they're the highest charting female Korean act on Billboard, hitting number one in the US in 2022 with their recent album Pink Venom. They have not done a lot of Christmas things, so I don't know if they would do it, but if they were to, you know, expand the type of music that they're interested in, I think they'd be a huge contribution. And going back to your point, Ken, on marketing, I just think that this could make it even bigger than it already is.
Yeah. When you said that, I first thought, well, isn't BTS, aren't they?
They're the boy version. The boy version of Blackpink.
Yeah. But I know one of them is I don't know if it was drafted or is in service right now. So they're sort of on hiatus anyway. But which would also mean that some of those guys who aren't doing anything right now could be part of this too. But that's not an official pick from me. It's not even my turn. So, Scott, who do you have next?
My next choice is one I honestly can't believe wasn't in the first Band-Aid, but Rick Astley.
Yeah.
He's still around. He's still making music, still has a fantastic voice. And for as big as he was when the original hit, it's just surprising he wasn't part of it.
Yeah, that's another one. A big name that should be. I'm gonna send this podcast to Bob Geldof and Midyear and see what'll happen. And I feel kind of silly about some of my next picks, because my next pick is Ray Davies, possibly Ray and Dave Davies. They should have been in the first one. For those who don't know, Ray and Dave Davies are the sometime feuding brothers, most of the time feuding brothers, that led the Kinks. I know that Ray still does stuff. Both of them still do some things. They're huge. They're the Rock Hall of Fame. I hate to say gods, but really. But I just, that would be something else to see Ray Davies as part of Band-Aid 40. But I'm dreaming, hence this podcast. Sarah, who's next on yours?
So going back to America, but choosing someone who is an absolute global phenomenon is Beyonce. She had a record-breaking tour. I think she's in the top 10 grossing tours of all time, you know, only a few steps behind Taylor Swift, who's now the first billion-dollar touring artist, which is amazing. But Beyonce is the most decorated Grammy winner of all time. Few could come close to her in terms of like beautiful vocals. She does have, you know, a Christmas album with her girl group Destiny's Child. I know she loves Christmas music. She's done a ton of charitable work, including in the city where I'm from, in Houston, where she's got some apartment buildings with her name on it for that have significance in Houston neighborhoods. But I just really want to give a shout out for someone like that. I don't know if she'd do this, but it would be amazing to see someone of her caliber participate.
Oh, yeah. And it is amazing looking at her career, even just after Destiny's Child, a smash with the classic At Last, Etta James song. And to go from that to a number one country single in 2024, wow. Yeah, that would bring quite some power to a charity single, that's for sure. Scott, who's next for you?
Okay, so I laughed at your last choice because I'm getting into my rock royalty part of my list, and my next choice was Ray Davies. and like you know, the Kinks were having a resurgence back in the 80s when when the first one came out. So it's just really surprising that and who knows, they Bob Geldof may have reached out to him, but it would have been neat seeing him on the original too.
Yeah. I had also thought about The Who, but that seemed to be farther out than the Rolling Stones, and I can't see that, but it would have been cool to have Ray Davies as part of it. My next one, and this I think could work, Billy Mack. Bill Nye is the actor that played Billy Mack in Love Actually, the guy who sang Christmas All Around Us. And I think that would be funny and still really kind of cool to have him as part of this. And so many people have seen that movie, and it's even bigger in England. I think having him as part of this, I don't know, I think it would reach a lot more people and bring a lot more people in instead of it just being, oh no, not that thing again. Even though that's sort of what he said in Love Actually about them playing his Christmas record. But I think that would be fun. Anyhow, Sarah, who's next for you?
That would be fun. My next one is another American-born artist, but he has British links. So go with me on this. Okay. Adam Lambert. He has been the front man for Queen, a British band, a very famous British band, and his outstanding vocal ability would make Freddie Mercury proud. Clearly, that's why they selected him as the front man after Freddie's death. He's also on his own appeared at number one on the U.S. Billboard charts and is a noted philanthropist. He founded his own charity supporting the LGBTQIA community called the Feel Something Foundation. So I know that he has a big heart in giving back. I think he'd be a great pick. And if they only go with British artists, I hope that they would allow him to be there because of his British connection in Queen.
And he did, I don't know if this was like an Amazon exclusive or a Spotify, a version of Please Come Home for Christmas that's really cool. Makes it his own. This is one of the things I love about somebody who does a cover, when they make it their own, but it's still faithful to the original. And it's a hard thing to do. But he did a really cool job with that.
He did a great duet with Darren Criss on Darren Criss's latest Christmas album, Man with the Bag.
Yeah.
And that duet was fantastic.
Yeah. Scott, who's next for you?
I almost went the Queen route, but I think Roger Deakin was in Band Aid 30 or 20. He went one of them. I went with Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend. they're at a different point in their lives now. They're not, you know, the same guys they were in the 70s or 80s. I think there's a chance that, you know, presented to them right, there's a chance that they could get them on there.
Plus, cool.
I saw Roger Daltrey in his Tommy tour a couple years ago, and he sounds so good now.
In the 90s, Roger Daltrey was on Broadway, or in an off-Broadway thing, of a musical adaptation of A Christmas Carol. And so he has a little more experience than just the Christmas song from Tommy. But that would be very cool to have the Who and the Kinks and the Rolling Stones in it. That would be amazing, and they would sell lots of copies. My next pick is Roy Wood, the guy behind Wizard. I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day, which just seems to be getting more and more popular, even in the U.S. now. But he's huge in England, and I was really surprised that he too has never been part of. I mean, I get that there can only be so many people that they get, but if you look it up on Wikipedia to look at the lists of those involved, it seems like a really giant list. So it is hard to believe that somebody like him wasn't involved before, but it'd be cool to see it happen now. Sarah, who's next on your list?
Okay, guys. I don't know how you missed this one, but maybe she's further down on your list. I recommend Mariah Carey, the queen of Christmas, the songbird of the world for Christmas music. In fact, I think she should get a super group together to sing her original Christmas song for charity as a fun way to redo it for one of her anniversaries. But I think she'd be a great addition because she's just linked to Christmas.
I think that this year, 2024, is the 30th anniversary of her Christmas album. So, Mariah, if you're listening, there's a free idea for you. I mean, you've done the song with Justin Bieber before, so expand, get a big roster together, and yeah, that'd be really cool. Scott, who's next for you?
Okay, so I said you and I were going to have some overlap. My next choice would be Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. I like you, I just think that would really put it over the top as far as marketing and appealing to people who may not have any interest in it otherwise.
Oh, yeah. I think, well, I told you what I thought about having the Stones in there. And Mick has done a couple Christmas things on his own.
Mm-hmm.
But, and Keith Richards did Run Rudolph Run back in the 70s. But that would be, I'm not going to lie, I'd love that. And it's hard to believe that Stones haven't really done a Christmas thing as the Stones. So I don't know if there's a particular reason for that or if it just hasn't happened, or at least hasn't happened yet. My next pick is Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits. He's got a new album coming out and he's still doing stuff. And in the 80s, when Band-Aid happened, Dire Straits were really kings of the world. Another one that I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over. So surprised that just even his guitar wasn't on that first version. But now that he's not doing stadium tours anymore, maybe he's got the time. So, Bob Geldof, give Mark Knopfler a call. Sarah, is this your last one? Are we at the end of the lists?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
My number 10 recommendation is Kelly Clarkson. She's a multiple Grammy and Emmy award-winning singer and talk show host. She's proven that she can sing the whole phone book and people would listen to it with her Kellyoke segment daily on her show. She'd make an incredibly talented addition to the song.
Yeah, yes, she would. I just came across recently one of her Kellyokes from last year where she covered River by Joni Mitchell. And this was done like in May or June. It wasn't seasonal, but just wow. I think she'd be a great part of a Band-Aid 40. Scott, who's your last one?
So my last one, I figured, you know, shoot for the stars. If you're going to get the Who, if you're going to get the Stones, and I know Paul's been involved before, but get Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr on there.
That'd be nice. You know, Ringo's another one that I'm surprised wasn't involved. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Paul didn't perform on the first one. He recorded a little message for them, but he wasn't there for the first one, but he did play bass on, I think it was Band-Aid 20. And, you know, and I get that if you've got legends, it's gonna be difficult for somebody who grew up on Paul McCartney to be standing next to him in the chorus. I can imagine how that might feel. So if you've got somebody like him and he's cool with just playing bass, that'd be great. And Ringo could just be playing the drums and that would be really cool. And it would still sell millions.
Mm-hmm.
My last one, I don't feel like it quite goes out with a bang, but I just thought this would be fun. The Pet Shop Boys. I just thought that would bring some more fun into something that is trying to raise money for something that's not fun at all. But I think certainly the first time around, the song was really a downer. And I think bringing the Pet Shop Boys in would help make it a more fun song that people would be more happy about donating to help, maybe. I'm not on their marketing team, obviously, but I thought that would be fun. Any last thoughts or anybody? I know, Sarah, you had some that you were going to throw in at the end.
I just have a list to read off as my honorable mentions.
Okay, fire away.
Okay, Tracy Chapman, she's having a resurgence. Ariana Grande, she's just huge globally. Sia, Christina Aguilera, John Legend, Dolly Parton, Cher, Jess Glenn, a Brit, Meghan Trainor, Casey Musgraves, Mick Jagger, Taylor Swift, biggest musician in the world right now. Anitta, who's huge out of Brazil. Jennifer Hudson, EGOT winner. Adele, another Brit. Jennifer Lopez, Kesha, Teddy Swims, Bebe Rexha, Enrique Iglesias, Joss Stone, and Make Like Monkeys, the Christmas guys.
Oh, that, I love those guys. That would be very cool. Scott, you have anybody else to throw in?
Yeah, I was thinking, for the most part, people who were involved in some of the previous ones. So Paul Young, Cliff Richard, Chris Rea, Simon Le Bon, Boy George, Sting, Seal, and then one who, honestly, I just thought of as we started this, Peter Frampton.
Oh, nice. The only ones that I really would want to add are the two guys who put this together, and they performed the first time as part of the choir, part of the whatever. They sang, they played instruments. Bob Geldof and Midge-Ure. Bob Geldof was, for anybody who doesn't know, was part of the Boomtown Rats. I Don't Like Mondays was the giant hit over on this side of the Atlantic, had a bunch of hits on the other side. He's obviously most well known for being part of Band Aid and Live Aid. And Midge-Ure, who was part of Ultravox, also performed on this. I think it would be really cool to have those two guys who have been so instrumental in making this happen and making such a difference. Band Aid wasn't the first celebrity supergroup for charity, but it was one of the first, and it was big, and it spawned so many more. And it just, even if you don't look at the specific charity that they were raising money for, they got so many other people thinking about doing this to help others, so that metal guys got together and did Hearing Aid, which was a whole bunch of heavy metal bands. And oh, there's a giant list of them that came after Band Aid. I mean, I don't know that We Are the World would have happened if Band Aid hadn't happened. So it would be really nice, before they decide to retire and go to Miami Beach, if they'd step behind the mics and be part of it. I think that would be really cool. So there's my 2 cents, all of our 2 cents, for whatever that's worth. Before we say goodbye, Sarah, I know you're not doing a podcast, but you're still posting stuff about music. Any inklings about new Christmas music or anything going on that you'd want to share?
I haven't seen anything big on the radar yet. Nothing that I'm excited about, but September is when I really start building my 2024 Christmas list. And Ken, you know, I will keep you posted.
Yes, I'll be keeping an eye on Twitter for stuff from you. And I'll put a link down so everybody can find you on Twitter too. Scott, what's coming up for you?
As we're recording this, tomorrow, my latest episode will drop. It's for Black History Month. It's about a group from the 90s called ASAP. They were three African-American women who pretty much their entire musical career was in Japan. And as I've pointed out in some other episodes, you know, when you're covering Japanese Christmas music, there's not a lot of Japanese Christmas music that was done by African-American artists. So it's kind of hard to have an episode for Black History Month each year. This one's a really good one. It's one you're going to want to tune in for. And then next month, for Women's History Month, I'll be covering a couple albums by a jazz singer named Akiko. So I've got some really good music coming up.
Very cool. Well, thank you both for taking some time out and playing this game. And maybe we'll have news later this year, and maybe some of our picks were right, and maybe all of them were wrong. We'll see. But thanks so much.
Thanks for having us, Ken.
Yep, thanks a lot.
And thank you so much for listening, helping me share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're already listening to the podcast, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page, which I'll put down in the show notes, so you can click over, find us on your favorite streaming site, subscribe, and then you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.